preachers who don't help the sound guys out. There we go. We're on now. We're on the lapel. Second Timothy 4. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Okay, verse 2, here we are. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Interesting there. A pastor has done a study on this recently through the book, the Pastoral Epistles there and 2 Timothy. And we will remember there that word they there is mentioned three times. They will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. There is a danger tonight that they could be you and I. As we fall into apostasy, having known the truth, we can turn our ears away from the word of God and not heed the preaching. But we know this isn't anything new and this isn't anything deep, but the Independent Baptist movement was built on preaching. Was it not built on preaching? We're looking to do some upgrades to the building here maybe, and some maybe new carpet on the scene and some new curtains. We're not looking to move the pulpit from where it is. We're looking to keep it in the centre of the building and keep the preaching of the Word of God central. Looking in the Old Testament there, we see Noah. Well, actually, in the New Testament, Noah is called a preacher of righteousness. And we see Nehemiah was definitely a preacher of God's truths. Isaiah. We then have Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, all preachers of the gospel. And we get down to the book of Matthew and we see Jesus Christ came preaching the gospel. Okay, and his forerunner there was John the Baptist, and he goes right on with the disciples there right throughout the Word of God. We see preaching is foundational and fundamental to our movement. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. If you look over there, as we keep in mind the importance of preaching, and we look at our subject tonight, to heed the preaching. Hebrews chapter 2, just starting in chapter 1 here, we see the context here. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So God, who in the past had spoken through the prophets in the Old Testament, hath in these days, that's our days, the day we're living in now, in 2019, has spoken us by his Son. That's the Word of God, okay, through the Word of God. And it goes on there to talk about God, the Lord Jesus in verse 4, being made so much better than the angels. He says in verse 5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. He didn't say that to any of the angels. He said that to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So chapter 1 proves that Jesus Christ is better than the angels. And in verse 2, we come down to a verse here that encourages us to heed the word of God. So in the context here, he is saying that Jesus Christ is better than the angels. He deals with better than the prophets. He deals better than Moses. He goes right through all those. And the whole book of Hebrews says that Jesus Christ is best. Jesus Christ is far superior. And this is a basic truth that we know. In verse 1 of chapter 2, therefore, because we know these things, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And as much as you might say, Seth, tonight you're preaching to the choir, we all know we're to listen to the preaching of the Word of God, we're to heed the preaching, but there is a danger that you and I could let these things which we have heard, we could let them slip at any time. The idea there of letting it slip has the idea of a big ship, a massive ship, maybe in the harbour, just slipping out overnight, unnoticed. Maybe just a big thing, but just slipping away quietly. Those ships don't really make much noise. Less at any time, we should let them slip. I've been thinking about this whole aspect of listening to the Word of God. And thinking that if we are going to have revival as a church, and I believe the Lord is working, I believe the Lord has started revival, it's hard to say, are we 25% of the way there? Are we 5% of the way there? We don't know that. We'll leave that up to the Lord, but I believe the Lord is working in revival in this place. But one thing is going to be a mark of revival, I believe, is not only will there be good preaching of the Word of God, and I want to leave that for what it is. I believe, and I think you would agree with me, that we have a sense of liberty in the pulpit here through our pastors, and the Lord has been speaking to his people, but to leave that aside and to deal with our side of the story, which is to listen to the preaching and to heed the preaching. A revived church has a congregation of listening people. Okay, a revived church as a whole will have people that are listening and heeding the Word of God. You show me a church where people are not paying attention to the Word of God, where people are not paying attention to good preaching, and I'll show you a church that needs revived. Okay, but if we've got a church that has revival and God is doing a work, we will see a church with a congregation that, to the most part, will be sitting up straight and listening and heeding during the preaching. God has used preaching throughout history. Are you a heeder of the preacher, or are you a sleeper through the preaching? Okay, a bit of a challenge there. Even godly Timothy was encouraged by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy there to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, I don't think Timothy had sermon audio on his phone, and I don't think he had access to the internet, but he was told by Paul to give attendance to exhortation and to doctrine, a reminder to give heed to those things. How much more should we not be encouraged tonight and reminded of the utmost importance of heeding the preaching? It can only be of help in us in our pursuit of God. Do you want to know God tonight? Do you want to know God in a better way? I've enjoyed the last 3 years of being here, and the Lord has put inside me, I would say, an unsatisfied desire yet, as in it hasn't been satisfied completely, to know God. And I've enjoyed the beginning of this year and those preaching sessions that we may pursue one thing, to know God. So join with me as we pursue God. If you are a heeder tonight, then may I encourage you to heed the Word of God even more. Before we go any further, I'm going to look at 3 points tonight. I just want to look at the definition of heeding the preaching. What do we mean by heeding the preaching? Secondly, I want to look at what are some of the blessings of heeding and listening to good, wholesome preaching of the Word of God. And then lastly, just some practical thoughts there in preparation, our preparation for coming and hearing the Word of God, preparation for heeding the preaching. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll have a look at the definition of heeding the preaching. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that as we come tonight before you, Lord, we may be ready and willing, Lord, to hear what you would have us say tonight. We understand as we come here, Lord, we're not come to hear the words of Seth in any way, Lord, but we're to hear what you would have us hear by the Spirit of God through your word. We pray that you would encourage each heart tonight, Lord, to be a listener to the Word of God, and even more to listen intently and to heed the Word of God. Lord, we pray that from this point we would go on to not only be hearers only, but also doers of the Word of God. Bless now, we pray, give clarity of thinking as we open the Word of God together. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, the definition of heeding the preaching. What do I mean by heeding the preaching of the Word of God? And I found it very helpful lately. Sometimes our pastor does this too, to give the definition of what it does not mean, first of all. And that sometimes helps us get this in our minds. Very simple, but what it does not mean, heeding the preaching does not mean that we just sit there with our head up and mainly look at the preacher, even if our thoughts are miles away. Now, I've been here myself. I've sat under many a preaching over years with my head up, maybe looking like the picture of spirituality to those around me, but miles away completely with my own thoughts. So listening intently and heeding the preaching does not mean that we're just sitting there and looking good for those around us, okay? It also does not mean that we listen if it's interesting, okay? How are we all guilty of that? We just sit there, we settle ourselves down into the nice, comfortable new chairs that we have here, and then we just off in our own world, and then, oh, preacher saying something. Yeah, that is an interesting fact. And we tune in for a while it's interesting. That is not what it's about. We live in an entertaining society, which is just focused on entertainment, and we're not planning, as I said before, we're not planning to move this pulpit off to one side and get a nice little bar stool here with a handheld microphone and croon into that and do all that sort of thing. No, we're planning to stick with the preaching of the Word of God. After all, well, we're not here to hear from God, not just to be entertained. That doesn't mean that we can't get excited and, to a certain degree, in a good sense, be entertained by the preaching and be absorbed by the preaching, but that's not why we're here. Okay, let's have a look at what it does mean. Okay, what it does mean. Webster's Dictionary says to heed is to listen intently. Okay, so not just to listen, but to listen intently, to hold the mind. If you have a good imagination like mine, I can imagine myself sitting in the chair with my mind in my hand, like a filming camera, just aiming it at the preacher, okay? To hold the mind in a certain direction, or to pay attention to, okay? To pay attention to the Word of God. To be given to, the idea is to be given over to one thing, okay? To pay attention to something. After all, isn't the goal of the preaching of the Word of God is for God to speak to us? And we cannot have God speak to us. It doesn't do us any good unless we hear the Word of God. Have a look at Luke 8:8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 8. The context here is in the middle of the parable of all the different types of ground that the Word of God is falling on, different types of soil. Okay, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the preacher of all time, is preaching this. And he says here in Luke 8 and verse 8, and he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing, that's not the verse I've got, read verse 10. Sorry, verse 8. Another fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. This is a clear teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, that if we have ears, let him hear. If you're not sure, the Lord Jesus spoke much about this. In Matthew 11:15, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In Matthew 13:9, he said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13:43, he says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4:9, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4:23, if any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. I think we're getting the picture. Mark 7:16, if any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. And pretty much the same thing in Luke 14 as well. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Lord says. You get right through the New Testament and you get into the book of Revelation. And he says, whoever hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. How is your heart tonight in relation to preaching? I often think of a sponge. I work as a handyman, a maintenance man, and now and again I'm required to fix something that might be leaking under a sink or something where water's coming out. And I have these cheap, big yellow, almost like car sponges I get from Bunnings. They're about $1 each. I've used a lot of them over the years, but they don't really absorb much water. They're just a sponge, and you dip them in a bucket of water. We pull it out, most of it empties out, it drips out the bottom. But I recently, probably 6 months ago, went and purchased a decent sponge. I probably paid maybe $6 or $7 for a decent quality sponge, and it's a blue. Some of you ladies may have seen them before. Comes in a nice little plastic container, and it's quite a dense little blue sponge there, and it really soaks up the water. You put it in the water in a wet spot, and you can pull it out and squeeze it into a bucket, and it really soaks it up. I've said to our to Pastor Simeon before, I felt sometimes sitting there in the chair in this church, just felt like a sponge, just like a dry sponge, and the Word of God just coming in, just filling me up. And I know that's not an example out of the Bible, but the Lord uses everyday examples. Okay, are we like a sponge to soak up the Word of God? I do love preaching. I'm yet to see an individual who is so distracted because the person next to him is heeding the preaching. I'm yet to see that. But I do see the opposite. I don't want to dwell there tonight, but I have seen the opposite where an individual is sitting next to someone who is not paying attention to the Word of God, and doesn't it distract from the preaching? Let's have a look at the blessings of heeding the preaching. Okay, what are some of the blessings of heeding or listening intently to the preaching of the Word of God? I've got here as point number one, you may get a blessing from God. You may get a message from God, rather. You may get a message from God. That's one of the blessings of heeding the preacher. You may, isn't that just novel? You may come along and you may just get and hear a message that God has directly for you. You know, if we miss a service, we run the risk of missing an opportunity to hear from God. The essence of preaching is really is for a preacher to receive a message from God and then to give it to the people. Now, I know there's the aspect there to, as well. He is to declare the gospel to the lost. But I wonder sometimes, are we getting the message? Are we getting the message that God has for us through preaching? You know, I'm amazed how the Holy Spirit can take a message here on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening and use it in individual lives. We all come in here with different needs and the Lord can use it. I've been amazed that I have come to this church and I've sat down and I've said, Lord, I know what I need today. I know this is what I need some good preaching on this particular subject today, but what's the possibility of the pastor preaching on it? And you know what? The pastor's preaching and he's preaching over here and the Lord's convicting me and I get to the end of the message and say, you know what, Lord, you knew my heart even better than I did. I didn't actually need what I thought over here, but the Lord had it all prepared over there. What a blessing. Praise the Lord. You may just hear from God. Are you getting the message? Are you getting the message that God has for you? Second point, one of the other blessings you may receive or you will receive from heeding the preaching is that you will grow spiritually. Have a look at Proverbs 9. Have a look at Proverbs 9 there. You will grow spiritually. You show me a person who is heeding the word of God, who's sitting up straight, who's like a sponge absorbing the word of God, and I'll show you someone who is growing spiritually. Do you want to grow spiritually tonight? Do you want to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord? Then sit under good, wholesome preaching and soak it up. Pay attention, listen, and soak it up, and you will grow. You have no choice but to grow. You say, oh, Seth, well, you're preaching to the choir here. I'm a person, I listen all the time. I've been coming to this church for years. I always sit up attentively. I always take heed and have a look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. If you look at that last verse there, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. If you're going to scorn the preaching of the word of God, you will bear it. If you're going to heed the word of God, it will prosper yourself. It will prosper you. It will, the word's gone from me there, but it will be a blessing to you. If you be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We all know these verses. Romans 10, 17. I know we all know them, but I can't remember them. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There you have it in a nutshell. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to increase in faith. You want to increase in your walk with the Lord. Then heed and listen intently to the word of God. I've found since I've been here these 3 years just such a blessing in my Christian life, a period of growth, and I liken the preaching of the Word of God almost to a Bible college course. If you will, you know, sometimes we just take the preaching of the Word of God, well, we just go there on Sunday. It's just what we do. I go along with my parents or I just go out of a religious routine and we sit down, the pastor preaches, you know, he talks a little bit for a while on some topic out of the Word of God. It's pretty much the same thing every week. And then we go out and we have a coffee or we go and have some fellowship or whatever. But I've been encouraged to put some thought and some effort into listening to the preaching of the word. It's been such a blessing to me. You know, it's possible. I said that just. I said, let me get my train of thought here. We can look at the preaching of the Word of God as just a weekly activity, or we can look at it as something that God has ordained and God has put into practice. And what a blessing it can be. You will grow in your Christian life if you absorb each week and really come along expecting a blessing from God and really putting some attention into the preaching of the Word of God. You'll grow. Whether you have the schedule or the time or the commitment to do a Bible college course, as it were, and I'm all for doing Bible college courses, encourage anyone to do them, but it's no use going to that extent if you're not listening and just heeding the simple everyday, as we would call it, preaching and teaching of the Word of God. See what the Lord would have you learn and what messages He would have you take away from weekly preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Another blessing of heeding the preaching of the Word of God is that others around you will be affected. Others around you will be affected. And this has been a blessing to me personally. I have been encouraged and I have just been blessed by people in this church who have gotten excited about the preaching of the Word of God. And I know that they've been listening because I've been speaking to them after the service or maybe days later, and they're interested in talking about the sermon, talking about what the preacher's talked about. And it's hard for you in some depth to talk about what the sermon was if you weren't listening at all, okay? So some people have been a blessing to me. You just don't know how a hearty amen could stir the soul of a sleeping saint right next to you, amen? So let's be encouraged. Obviously, the balance there, but at the same time, we need to be getting excited about the things of God. If our amens are so loud and our hallelujahs and our glories are so big that they are distracting from the preaching of the Word of God, then we might have to tone it down. But I don't think we're really in trouble with getting too excited about the Word of God at this stage. So let's just keep working on that. A hearty amen. All right, another point there, another blessing of heeding the preaching is it will encourage your preacher. 2 John chapter 1 verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Just some thoughts here. When's the last time you thanked the pastor after the service? Sometimes I think we take it for granted that the pastor knows that we all appreciated the service and we appreciated his preparation and just having prepared again for this sermon here. As a fumbling preacher, you get some idea of the work and the intensity that goes on behind the scenes in bringing a message to God's people. Thank him after the service, maybe text him during the week. You know, as a deacon now, I have worked a bit closer to our pastors, and I don't take it for granted that I see my own downfallings as far as encouraging the preachers in this area of preaching, and I wonder if that's a reflection of what we all can fall into across God's people in maybe not encouraging the pastors enough, texting them when they're preparing for their message or after the message has been delivered. I've been just blessed at the amount of people that have come to me and said, we're preaching for you. You know, we're praying for you. We're not preaching for you. I wish I said they were preaching for me. That'd be a blessing. But who have said they're praying for me and who have texted me and said, we're praying for you. What a blessing. Encourage you to do the same for your pastor. When he gets too much of it, he can worry about turning his phone off or asking you to stop texting him, all right, or encouraging him, write him an email, ring him, do something novel like that and just encourage the preacher. All right, another blessing for heeding the preaching of the Word of God. There's lots of blessings for heeding the preaching of the Word of God right throughout the Bible. You have God's saints declaring His Word and God promising many blessings to those who heed the Word of God and also curses upon those who do not heed the Word of God. Another blessing of heeding the preaching of the Word of God is that it will keep you on praying ground. Proverbs 28 and verse 9, let me read that for you. It says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. You want to have answered prayer tonight? I've seen the Lord working in this place in prayer, and prayer is important. Someone has said, Pastor David Cloud said an interesting thing I've been mulling over for the last 2 or 3 weeks. He said the prayer meeting on Wednesday night is the most important meeting in the service, the most important service in the week. I thought about that and I thought, you know, he's right. Anybody who comes along and spends some labour and some time on a Wednesday night praying that God does a work during the service on Sunday is normally there on Sunday anyway. So Let's not to undermine at all. Prayer is very important, but also listening to the word of God. You want your prayers to be answered, then turn your ear towards God's law. Don't turn your ear away from God's law, because your prayer to God will become an abomination. Another blessing of heeding the preaching of the word of God is that you may just gain an appetite for some more good, wholesome Bible-based preaching. I got really excited about the fellowship meetings when we sent our pastor over there. And did you guys go to the vast fellowship meetings when Pastor Simeon preached? No, not the last one. Okay, he preached the one they read. He preached a sermon. It was called The Baptist Witch, but he re-preached it. I think it came through a different title on their website, but never mind. I was excited about him preaching, and Teresa and I had we've been talking with him, and we'd be throwing around which sermon he's going to preach and whatnot, and I was excited about him preaching, and we went over to the fellowship meetings, and it was a big build up. There were some preachers preaching away, and we tried to get a front seat and listen into the preaching, and I was excited, and it worked out which day our pastor was preaching, and was praying for him and was texting him and encouraging him. The night before, I was so excited. I spent extra time in prayer. I was up. I was just entering into his labours. And on the day he came, and they wired him up with one of those fantastic, I won't cause a church split over this, but one of those little microphones that the skin colour ones that half of us like and half of us don't like. But anyway, and he had some extra things hanging off of him so that he would have preaching for the deaf, and it was all the go. Then I got a second to front row seat, and John Harvey, he would remember. Where is he? He's in the sound room. Yeah, he's there. He was there beside me, and between us, I felt like we were a backup team for our pastor. We were there, you know, and it was exciting. And away he went. I think it was 50 odd minutes of preaching, and I believe he had great liberty. And we were excited. We were enjoying it. The sermon before was almost like the Lord was bringing a build up to our pastor's message, and I was excited. I mean, he was my favourite preacher at the whole place, and it was just good. And so I encourage you. You may just gain an appetite for good, wholesome, Bible-based preaching. And the Lord has done a work in me. Now, let me say, I have not always been a person who has been excited about preaching. I have walked into church, sermon and service after service, already predetermined that I had no interest whatsoever in what the speaker said. And that's sad. I don't say it with any pride or anything, but I do think the Lord does a work in me, and I'm excited about the preaching of the Word of God. And Sunday is the most exciting day of the week for me. Definitely is. It wasn't always the most exciting day. Saturday used to be my exciting day, and I would wear myself out and wear myself down, and I didn't have much energy or anything left for Sunday. But I get excited about being in the house of God and finding out what is going to be preached on and what's going to be talked about, and how the Lord may just speak to me in a special way. You may gain an appetite for good, wholesome, Bible-based preaching. The last point here under the blessings of heeding the preaching is that you may just get saved. You may get saved. If you're here tonight or you've been under the preaching many times and you're not saved, you know, 1 Corinthians 1:21 says that God uses the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And we encourage you, if you have not heard the preaching of the Word of God, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. Sorry, if you've not heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the good news is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you have not yet called upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, you know you're amongst people who want to sit down and talk with you and encourage you to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. All right, let's go and have a look at the preparation for heeding the preaching. Anything worthwhile in life and in the Christian life often takes some preparation, some forethought, some planning. So what are some practical ways you and I can be prepared for the heeding of the preaching of the Word of God? I have a couple of points here, and I just want to say at this point that I believe the Lord just laid it on my heart to speak on this subject. I wanted to really go and deal a bit more with James 1:21. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. But for whatever reason, the Lord said, you maybe just thought, Seth, you're a basic guy. Just stick with the basics, okay? So just to have now look at some practical preparation for heeding the preaching. All right, one of the ways we can prepare for heeding the preaching is to check our attitude towards the preacher. Now, I don't have in my mind at all that anyone here, I'm not critical of anyone in this church. The Lord dealt with me that about 3.5 years ago, and I love everyone that's here, and I'm just preaching what I believe the Lord has shown me here. But I have been here myself with some of these points, and so out of a heart of love, I would like to share them with people that people can be prepared for the preaching of the Word of God and really get what God wants for you in each church service as you come to hear the Word of God. And maybe some of these truths, they may or may not hit home. If they don't hit home, be prepared, because one day they may, because the devil is very clever at using some of these things in getting us prepared to not heed to the Word of God rather than preparing us to be ready to heed to the Word of God. So first of all, check our attitude towards the preacher. I'm not talking about checking attitude towards the preaching, but directly towards the preacher. Okay? Don't look at his faults. Look beyond his faults. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 3 and 4, have a look what the Apostle Paul said. Now, this is the great Apostle Paul. He was known as a great preacher. He was called of God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 3 and 4, once again, you know these verses, they're common verses. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Can I encourage you to look beyond the faults of a preacher that you will see? And I think it's the trick of the devil sometimes to get things. They can be little tiny things. It could be the way he talks. It could be his accent. It could be the way he, you know, some preachers get up and they stutter. Some preachers just have an appearance that doesn't appeal to you. But can we just check our attitude on that and look beyond his faults and realize that God has placed him there? That'll change our attitude towards the preaching. How can we heed the preaching? How can we come into the house of God and have God speak to us if our attitude towards the preacher is wrong in the first place? Another aspect of this is to correct. Now, this is what I call, I don't know how else to call, but this is what I call perceived pointed preaching. All right, let me explain that. Thinking that the preacher is just having a go at me. Okay, and I've been there before. I've heard preachers and listened, been under preachers who I thought, you know, they are just up there having a go directly at me. It's something that needs to be dealt with. If we come into a sermon and sit under a preacher with that sort of mentality, it's very unlikely we're going to go away with a blessing or something that God's going to show us from there. But in my understanding and my short experience of life, 99.9% of the people who think that are wrong anyway. The pastor is not up there having a go at them at all, doesn't even know their situation, but they're thinking like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you all know this, is the love passage. In a spirit of humility, if we were to apply this passage here from verse 4 onwards to this kind of mentality, okay, we're sitting there, we're thinking, this preacher, he knows my week's been, he's touched on a difficult spot I'm dealing with, whatever, and you think, this guy is just having a go at me. 1 Corinthians 13, charity suffereth long and is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and if necessary, even in preaching, endureth all things. Okay, so correct that. Don't, please don't sit under the preaching of God you've come to the place that God has set up over the centuries, the house of God, to hear something directly from God through a human, weak, failing preacher through the word of God by the Holy Spirit to you. Okay, don't let an attitude be an hindrance to that. Okay, here's another one. Assuming that the preacher is using the pulpit or using the platform to deal with problems. Okay, and I understand that some preachers do misuse the pulpit. But what is their attitude towards the preacher? What is their attitude towards the preacher? We can feel that we are fully grounded and we have a great foundation to believe that this preacher is having just using the pulpit to deal with some church issues or whatever. And this can be a real problem. What is their attitude towards the preacher? Okay, now I understand unless the preacher is teaching false doctrines or is teaching something that is contrary to Scripture, or unless the Holy Spirit gives clear direction to move out maybe from underneath that pastor's authority or that pastor's umbrella protection, we need to check our attitude. Okay, has the preacher been placed there by God or not? Okay, who put the preacher behind the pulpit in the first place? Okay, are you listening for the Holy Spirit to speak, or are you listening for the preacher? I speak to myself with this too. I've been here, I've struggled with this, and there is great liberty in checking our attitude before we come to preaching. What is our attitude as we get up and there's a guest speaker, whatever, and the devil comes along and trust me, well, don't trust me, trust the word of God. The devil is not happy with the praying church. The devil is not happy with a church that is seeking revival and wanting to serve God, and it's got an outreach ministry going on, and is looking to grow and give God honor, praise, and glory. The devil will try and get into us, get into our lives, and if he can hinder us, one of the ways he can hinder us is by speaking in our ear and working on our attitude towards the preacher and towards the preaching of the word of God. Have a look at the book of Jonah. In case we're still struggling with this, has the preacher been placed there by God or not? Are you listening for the Holy Spirit or are you listening for the preacher? Have a look at Jonah. Was Jonah a preacher who was called of God? Was Jonah called of God? Yes or no? Yes, God said to him, arise, go to Nineveh and preach. Okay? And then, was Jonah a good preacher? Did he go to Nineveh? No, he didn't go to Nineveh at all. In fact, he went the opposite direction against the will of God, and God had to put him in the whale's belly for a while and really bring him low before he came back to God and said, okay, I'll go and I'll preach to Nineveh. But if you look closely at the story of Nineveh, the story of Jonah and the book of Jonah here, it seems quite obvious that Jonah had a bad attitude the whole time. Have a look in verse 4. Now, Jonah has been and he has grudgingly preached to the people of Nineveh, and it would seem, I say grudgingly, because if you have a look in verse 4, we get down to verse 4. Now, what's happened just before this in chapter 3 is the people of Nineveh listened and heeded the word of God through this preacher, and they changed. Praise God. We don't hear of a really, all throughout history, of a city of this size turning to God. It wasn't a Christian-based city. It wasn't even part of Israel. It was just Nineveh. It was a big city, and the whole place turned to God. Everyone in there turned to God. The king got himself right, and all the people followed, and they heeded the preaching of the word of God through this man Jonah. In chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. This is Jonah. This is a preacher who has been called by God. Does he sound a bit carnal to you? He says in verse, it's in the same verse, he says, he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, Was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Seems to me he's saying here, Lord, I knew you would give mercy to these people. I don't want them to have mercy. He was quite happy for them to be destroyed. Jonah never had a heart for these people, really. He said, I told you this before, God. I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful. That's why he was so angry. And the Lord said, don't I do well to be angry? And we know the rest of the story. But my question to you is, what if the people of Nineveh had known that he was a carnal preacher? What if the people of Nineveh had looked at this man, Jonah, and said, why should we listen to him? I mean, we know he's run away from God. He went completely the opposite direction. He doesn't even have a spirit of love towards us in the first place. We're not going to listen to him. They didn't listen to Jonah, they listened to the word of God. Here's a question to contemplate, to think about. Is it possible for God to use a carnal preacher to give you the word of God? Give you a message from God. Think about that for a while. And it may help you with our attitude towards a preacher. Attitude has to be right. We have to come before into the house of God with a good attitude towards our preacher. Otherwise, how can God speak to us? How can God give us a message? All right, secondly, check our attitude towards the preaching. So now I'm talking about the actual content of the preaching of the Word of God. Psalm 66, verse 18. Psalm 66 and verse 18 gives us some insight into our attitude towards the Word of God. It says there, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I'm not sure if that's actually the verse I was after, but it does have a principle there that if we have a bad attitude and regard iniquity, the Lord is not going to hear us. Of course, we are praying that God will bless us through the preaching of the Word of God. Check our attitude towards the preaching. Again, line it up with 1 Corinthians 13, okay? And what is our preaching, what is our attitude, sorry, towards the content of the preaching? Now, let's do some tests there. Is the preaching scriptural? You know, we read in the New Testament in Acts 17 there of the Bereans who search the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And if the preaching is scriptural, if so, then we shouldn't oppose it. Why should we be opposing the content of the preaching of the Word of God if it is scriptural? Okay, if it's not scriptural, then there's a way in love to deal with that and to check with the preacher to maybe confirm if he did actually mean what he said, to line up with the scriptures and to go from there. But I'm just dealing with our side of the story here, our part of the of being prepared to heed the preaching. We need to deal with our attitude, and if the preaching is scriptural, let's not oppose it. Here's another point to realise, that the preaching is for you or for me as an individual. It took me a long time to get this habit out of my system, that I would be sitting there, spiritual, godly little Seth, listening away to the preaching, head up, thinking, oh, if only John was here, if only Joe Blow was here, this is great preaching for them. And so many times, it took a long time for the Lord to say, don't worry about Joe Blow around the corner and all the needs he has, worry about yourself, Seth. Do you have to apply this to your own life? So don't listen on behalf of so-and-so. You know, apply it personally. Okay, there are times to recommend a particular sermon to someone, but don't let that detract from the message that God is trying to give to you. Okay, God may even use you to re-preach that part of a sermon to them at some stage. So either way, listen up and take heed to the Word of God. Can I encourage the young people? Don't miss out on an opportunity to hear from God through the preaching while you're young. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I do have a regret there that when I was younger, I didn't listen more intently to the Word of God. Been such a blessing in these last years to hear good preaching and to apply it and just to soak it up. All right, in our preparation for the preaching of the Word of God and coming into the house of God, remember to pray for the preacher. Remember to pray for the preacher. I can remember being in Open Door, and one particular night, Pastor Cotton got up. He just got up quietly. He walked out to the front and he said, I don't have anything tonight. We were all just shocked. Just service after service, he would come up with something. God would give him something. And he said, I don't have anything from God to give us tonight. And he sat back down. And it was just dead quiet. Everyone just looked around. And my dad got up and he said, I've been challenged. How much have we prayed for our pastor? And so let's just keep that in mind. We have seen the Lord work in liberty and power, I believe, through our pastors. Let's keep praying for them. We let down our guard in that area and the liberty may go. Okay, so let's continue to pray for our pastor. Pray for the pastor's spiritual walk. Our pastor's mentioned it before, Colossians. There's a whole list of things there for pastors and for deacons. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our preachers that they will be walking with God. Colossians 4:3, the great apostle Paul said to pray for him. Let me just turn that over to that one. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3. I mean, you think the great apostle Paul, but yes, he needed people to pray for him too. Colossians 4, verse 3. With all, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving in verse 2. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds. Okay, pray for the preacher's spiritual walk, but also pray for the preacher's liberty. Pray for the preacher's liberty. I was thinking about this, and I do have a good imagination. I was thinking, let's just imagine that the pastor, let's say as a church, we come up with a good idea. Let's have a someday Sunday. Let's call it a someday Sunday. We'll have a big day and we'll invite people along who said that they'll come someday. Let's have a someday. We'll call it that. It'll be really flash. And we'll go to Pastor Simeon and say, look, can you just come up with something good? Just get in the office and just put your thinking cap on and we just want something that just do the best you can with the ability that you've got. I mean, maybe just bring in some Israeli war stories, whatever you think's good, just without saying it, just tickle our ears. Let's just do it, Pastor. You know that you're a good orator, and just do the best you can. And let's compare that on the other hand. Okay, let's say he does that, he gets up, he does the best he can. Let's compare on the other hand, and let's say that our pastor has been sick all week. There's been some emails gone through, just pulled him to shreds, and he's had a hard time. Some of the kids have been sick too. It's been a big week. And he gets up here and his voice is almost gone and he's in weakness. But he has liberty from God. And I've seen it happen. And he's struggling maybe to keep it together. And he's, like he said, his head feels like a cement mixer. But he is just, the Holy Spirit is giving him liberty. What would we prefer to have? What would we prefer to have? A someday Sunday with a man who's made up and relying upon his own strength, or a man in weakness who has liberty? So pray for the pastor's liberty. 1 Corinthians 2, we were just there a minute ago, where he said, I came in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And at the end of the same verse, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3, verse end of 4, he said, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Pray that the preacher will have liberty. It's amazing to come to a service with some of these things in place before you come. And I know I've been guilty of years. Saturday's a big day. It's a fun day. There's no work on. It's a time to live for yourself. I mean, God said, come apart yourselves and rest a while. But there's no preparation at all whatsoever for the Lord's Day. And what a difference to put some of these things in place, to check our attitude towards the preacher, to get that right, to realise that he's from God, to be sitting under the preaching, not thinking that this preaching is for someone else, but to be applying it personally, to check our attitude towards the preaching. If he's preaching the word of God and he's not running off on something else that is not sound doctrine, is not the clear teaching of the word of God, then get behind him, encourage him, and listen to the word of God. Pray for the preacher. Spend some time before praying for his spiritual walk, for the pastor's liberty in the pulpit, for the preacher's health. Pray for your own preparation. I mean, if we put some of these things in place, just even a small amount of time, say, Lord, going to the Lord's house this morning, speak to me. And have yourself in that spirit of the dry sponge, so to speak, just wanting to soak up the word of God before you even come here. Remove distraction. Hebrews 12:1 says to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Remove distraction. And this, some of these, you will laugh, but of course some of these apply directly to me. Be rested. Be rested. I have a tendency to run myself into the ground and then maybe land in a service and try and hold everything together and keep there. Be rested, okay? Very simple, something we know, but encourage you, be rested as you come into the Lord's Day. Okay, trying to hold your head up is just a huge struggle. You're just falling asleep. And understand, there's people with work commitments, people night shift and these sorts of things. But as a general rule, let's come to the house of God as rested as we can, so that we don't come to sleep. Be early, Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let's be on time. You know, if necessary, use a notepad. Now, understand, some people use a notepad and it's a distraction to them, it's a problem to them, they prefer to listen. Some people use a notepad because it keeps them concentration. I'm 50-50. If the preaching is really good, really good, I don't use a notepad, because I'm listening, I'm intent, you know, I'm listening. But if the preaching is not so good, say that carefully, because preaching is always good, but if I'm having a troubles maybe sticking with it, it can help me often keep my concentration by writing notes. Having said that, sometimes the preaching is really good and I'll write pages of notes. So, okay, we have a mix there, but if necessary and it helps you, then use a notepad to write down notes during the service. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. All right, another area we could move distraction is to avoid busy schedules outside of church, obviously, on the Lord's Day. Okay, think of Martha there, cumbered about with much serving and just busy, busy, busy. It's distracting. It is distracting to be in the Lord's house thinking, oh, after the service, I hope the preacher doesn't go too long. I've been travelling to do. Got to get there on time. Oh, boy, you just seem to be labouring that point, doesn't he? Okay, it does. It does make a big difference to how you are heeding the word of God. Would to God that God's people had an attitude of, when the pastors even hinted of winding up, that God's people just want more. No, 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 preach on, preach on. Wouldn't that be good? I think that'd be something we would see clearly in revival. Okay, just a couple of more notes here. Concentrate on the song service. Concentrate on the song service is a big preparation to the preaching of the Word of God. Tonight we sang some hymns about the Word of God and about preparing ourselves to hear the Word of God, to trust and obey and to trust in His Word. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves, speaking to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs is actually preparation, great preparation for the preaching of the Word of God. And then lastly, pray against satanic interference. Okay, the devil longs to get into this place and hinder the preaching of the Word of God. And he is defeated and held back in the place of prayer. Okay, let's pray against satanic interference, that the Word of God would have free course. Some closing challenges for tonight. Are you saved? Have you been heeding the preaching of the Word of God and listening? Or are you someone who's sitting under the sound of the Word of God, maybe time in, time and time again, and are lost? May I encourage you, speak to someone. God uses the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The preaching of the Word of God is truth. And then to the saved. Here's a challenge for you tonight. If we could remove, now we can't do this, but let's just say at Northside Baptist Church, we had the power to remove 50%, let's say, of our pastor's liberty. We know that our pastors have had liberty to preach the Word of God in recent days. If we were to be able to remove, let's say, just as a scenario, we took away 50% of our preacher's liberty. We took that away and said, you've only got 50%. They can preach with that. Would it change, or would it restrict your spiritual growth? Are you soaking up the word of God, or would nothing change? How about 25%? If we left them with 25% of the Spirit's liberty that we've seen, would it change anything? Or are we only living off that 25%? May I encourage you to heed, soak up, and absorb the preaching of the Word of God. Are there more messages that we could be receiving from God, but we're not heeding, we're not listening? So may that be a challenge to us tonight from the Word of God. Thank you, Pastor.